good to see you today. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise Jesus. I want to thank you for being here, and I want to welcome you to Only Believe. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, we are right here in Kenton, Ohio, which is one of the greatest metroplex that God ever created. Amen. I believe in the city. I believe in the people that are in this town. And I thank God that you're here today. I really do. Because I will tell you that you being here today represents three things. That God is faithful. That God is aware. And that God wants to do something in your life. Amen. And I will tell you that God has been so good to us this year that it's exciting that God is going to do even more in 2020 for you. And so I just want to thank you for being here. You know, sometimes people don't realize that in the Bible, the Lord would express his gratitude. Like when he said to his son, hey, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. You know what he was saying? He was pleased because Jesus was the first man to really live his life in such a way that God could do all that he wanted to do out of his life. He brought redemption through him. And I tell you what, the Lord is pleased with you. And the more you give to God, the more work God can do in your life. Amen. So we're going to worship God today. We're just going to rejoice in him today. And really, I want you to be bold enough to be bold. If you want to clap your hands or whatever you want to do, even you want to give a little shout out, raise those hands up, just worship God today. And it's good to see you guys. It's good to see you over there by the window. Praise God. It's good to see you guys. Hey, but I want you to know that God is with you and God loves you and that he's here for you. Amen? Amen. And let's just worship God this morning.
Amen. Stand your feet with us this morning.
Words I enter the gates, come reckless with praise.
I want
just to stir yourself up with the remembrance of what he has already done for you. Amen. Some of you need to get in the mind frame and say, God, you have delivered me from the lowest part of where I was at. When I needed a Savior, you came and you brought me out. You came and healed me. You came and set me free. Amen. Are you going to let a rock cry in your place? Because I'm telling you, I refuse to let a rock cry out and say, thank you, God, for everything that you have brought me through. No, we were watching a football game yesterday, and I started yelling and screaming at that TV. And I was jumping up, and I was getting, like, pointing at it. And I sat down, and I just had a checkup from the neck up. And say, God, do I yell that loud for you? Do I get that excited for you? Do I show you that much in me that I'm so excited about what you have done for me? So I'm telling you, if you thought I was loud before, you better watch it. Because for the one who set me free, he deserves all of our praise, all of our glory. Woo! Hallelujah.
Is yet to come. seek him. He says that if you seek him, he will be found of you. And I want you to know something, that the presence of the Lord creates an open door and an atmosphere for the miraculous to come. The Lord will embrace you, the Lord will love you, and the Lord will change you and your circumstances when all we have to do is open our hearts up, because his presence truly is an open door. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just declare, God, that you are an open door, Father. Lord, that as we seek you, we will be found. You will be found, Father. Lord, and you will bring breakthrough into our life. You'll bring your blessing into our life, God. You will turn things in the directions that you want them to go for us, Father. And Lord, you will not leave us nor forsake us. God, if we seek you, your presence will be found, and it will be an open door of your blessing and goodness in our lives. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.
Your presence is an open door. We want you, Lord, like never before. Your presence is an open door. So come now, Lord, like never before. Your presence is an open door. We want you, Lord, like never before.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Your presence is an open door. So come now, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your presence, God.
Yes.
In your presence is the fullness of joy. And Lord, all things happen as a result of your presence and you coming upon us. And we just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Woo, hallelujah.
Amen. I had a word for the first, and I really feel him impressing me to tell you too. He told us this morning that quit asking him for what you need. The board says that he knows you, he will supply your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That means your needs are taken care of.
Amen, amen.
Because he said, I'll supply your needs. And never, amen. The word never says, ask me for your need. It says, I will supply your need according to my, not according to what you have, but according to what he has.
Amen.
Do you know that's an endless supply? That's an endless.
Amen.
That's an endless bank account.
Amen.
It's an endless supply of joy, of peace. That's an endless supply of healing. It's endless. Amen. Everything that he has is endless. Amen.
Amen.
He says, in the name of the Lord, I want you to start asking me, Lord, what do you want from me now? Where do you want me to go next? What do you need from me? What? I literally just did this morning in service and said, God, what can I give to you now? What more can I give to you? What more can I do? I want to give something more to you. And God said, that start asking me, what do you want from me, Lord? Because with the Lord, I don't know if you understand.
Man.
Sowing and reaping. You're going to give him yourself.
Amen.
And he's going to fill you up in Amen. Return.
Amen.
There's an exchange when we say, God, we're going to do whatever you want us to do, and we're going to move towards you. God's going to start running.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord.
There are things that are going to start breaking loose. Listen, nobody said this life was ever going to be easy. Listen, I'm going through a battle right now. I told him the first service is the first time I've really kind of even... But I'm not talking about my battle. I'm praying to the Lord about my victory.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been praising him through this thing. Mm-hmm. Listen, when we sing, do it again this morning, even just in practice, not even during service, when Logan hit that bridge and we started singing that, I'm telling you, something broke loose in me.
Amen.
Something broke loose in me. Because even in a practice setting, I said, no, this ain't practice for me, God. This is me worshiping you. This is me giving you my praise. Listen, when you give God you, I'm telling you, he's going to come in and he's going to meet. He's going to meet you. Amen?
Amen.
We need to understand that this hard moment that we're in is not our lifetime. Remember back when you weren't saved and we thought that was the worst it was ever going to be. And trust me, that was the worst it was ever going to be.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord.
Life without Christ is death.
That's right. Absolutely.
He saved you out of that moment. When the enemy had you and was your Lord, God reached down and grabbed you out and you said yes. Mm-hmm. Amen. There's nothing more that he can't do for you.
Amen.
Listen, he does exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or think.
Amen.
Our brain can only think of so much.
Amen.
He's God. He has no limits.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
So what we got going on? You want me to go ahead and do announcements?
Yes. Do announcements.
Okay. Remember, this is Thanksgiving week. As you can see, we got people probably celebrating already.
Amen.
Praise the Lord with family. So we are not going to have a Thursday night service this week. We'll meet back on Sunday morning as normal, but y'all have fun with your families. Take time for the Lord. Remember what the season is for. What are we thankful for? Make sure you tell him what you're thankful for.
Yep.
Man, I can't. If I started writing now all the things that I'm thankful for, that I can remember everything that he'd done, I don't know when I'd quit writing.
Hallelujah. You know, we have a lot of blended families here, so we give this week off because we have people that have a lot of Thanksgiving to get to. But in the middle of it, I want to encourage you to take time, as Pastor Regina said, to be thankful and to give Thanksgiving. You may even want to do a family communion while you're on while you're out this week. But definitely take some time to consider God and his goodness and just have more than just a Thanksgiving meal. Have a time of Thanksgiving and knowing what God's done for us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And then remember, women, the women's Christmas party
is
not this coming Saturday, but the following Saturday on the 7th of December here at the church from 1 to 5. There's a sign up back there. It's a carry-in. So if you'll sign up back there. And then we're not doing gifts this year. They wanted to make it just kind of easy on y'all. So it's just socks, Christmas socks.
Amen.
And you can fill it with, don't buy expensive stuff to fill your socks with. Listen, you're probably going to get a bunch of candy from me, and if I could take the socks I bring, I'm going to.
Amen.
I'm going to fill it with the candy that I like. Isn't that what you do? You bring what you like. Try to get it. That's what I do.
Well, hallelujah.
It doesn't
we
work
all know
well for me because I never get to leave with what I brought, but I try.
Good strategy, babe. Then when she doesn't get what she wants,
I learned it from you.
Yeah, but when you don't get what you want, what do? We go out and buy it anyway.
What did you buy me once? And you said, babe, I bought this for the family. I said, you bought this because you wanted to use it.
Fishing poles. Oh, really?
Fishing poles. I'm like, I don't like to fish. You like to fish. That ain't my fishing pole. That's your extra fishing pole that you got in the water.
Hey, we got to have one for light fish and one for a big bass.
Amen. Amen. So what else we got going on? And remember that if you would like to join us on Christmas Eve and sing a special that night,
yes, please
we need you
do.
To see Linda while she's here. I said me or Linda, but Linda's here, so come see Linda.
Amen.
Or shoot her something. Let her know that you would like to. We'll get you a schedule back of when we're going to run over those if she needs to know what you're going to be singing. We enjoyed it last time.
Yes, it was very good last year.
Truly enjoyed listening to others sing and just worship the Lord. And it was amazing, and we want to do it again. So if you're interested in doing that, get with Linda.
And these are Christmas songs related to the Lord. Okay, it's not like...
Listen to what song he says you can't sing.
I left all my exes in Texas or nothing like that. Or I'm just looking for a hound dog or whatever, a rebound dog.
Yeah, why would you sing those for Christmas anyway, one might ask? I have not... I'm his wife, and I still can't
answer
those questions.
I'm just trying to make sure that it's clear that, you know, it's Christmas related to Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Not your exes being in Texas.
That's right. No exes in Texas.
Clear.
Amen.
Amen. And then, again, Christmas week, we will have a service on Christmas Eve here at the church. It starts at 6 o'clock. It's our candlelight service, and that will be the only midweek service that we have that week. We'll come back again on Sunday, so we won't have a Thursday night service. I believe that Christmas Eve falls on a Tuesday, So we'll have a Tuesday night service, and then we'll come back again on Sunday morning.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're not done yet.
No intercessory prayer.
You're not done yet.
No, you're right. No intercessory prayer this week. The outreach is obviously it's Thanksgiving week, so all of that stuff has been canceled for this week. I think I'm done.
No, I don't think so. We're going to let the children go. We're going to let Pastor Jared and them guys go. And
they're
gone. Boy, they're going to eat and all kinds of stuff. Praise they're going to go eat and have a good meal, all kinds of stuff.
Ken's girl, I'd go if I was you.
I would go if it was me. They're eating good down there today.
Oh, yeah. Buddy, there's food down there.
Call me. Yeah, they're eating good in the neighborhood today. Amen.
No, Steve, you cannot go.
Huh? Yeah, I try to sneak out myself, but they always catch me.
Steve's trying to go down. No, Steve.
Hallelujah.
Although, no, I won't say it on camera. I'll get you later. I'll tell you what I was thinking.
Amen. Amen. You're not done.
Okay, what am I doing?
Because we're doing just testimonies for offering today. So you can...
You want me to... The first,
yeah.
Okay, so Phil was wanting testimonies the first service.
On tithing and offering, why we personally believe.
Why do we believe?
Tithing and offering.
Why do we believe? And I was telling the first service, I believe in tithing and offering, not because a man spoke it. Now, when we first started church, I wasn't churched. I didn't know the word of God. I didn't know anything. I was in my mid-20s, and I knew nothing. When I got saved, I went home, and I would read the scriptures that pastor had given me. And because when I got saved and I asked Jesus to come into my heart, I'd been through abuse, I'd been through molestation, I'd had an abortion. I mean, there's just so much I can tell you that I had been through at that point in my life. I wanted to commit suicide. I felt like back then I was too chicken to, but thank the Lord he saved me.
Amen.
But when I got saved and I asked Jesus to come into my heart at that church service, there was a weight that lifted off of me, and I could breathe for the first time, and I couldn't tell you how long. And because of that freedom, and there was literally a joy. Now, when you live in depression and you live with bitterness and anger, you don't understand what joy is. You can laugh with people, but you don't understand what joy is. And so when that lifted off of me, mm-hmm. when I prayed that, like, I literally was like... What is this? Like, I didn't know. It was just freedom.
Mm-hmm.
To describe it in any other word, I don't know it. Because it was just too awesome of a feeling, you know, to know how to describe it to you. I'm just telling you about my experience.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got saved, nobody's ever done that for me. Right? Like, so I got into the word, and I would read what the pastor had told me because... I don't know about you, but I didn't trust people. So you can tell me the sky is blue, and until I went outside and looked at the sky and verified that it was blue, I wasn't believing you. So
Amen.
I didn't really, I heard what the pastor was saying, and I know the Lord drew me in to get saved because I didn't want to go to hell.
Amen.
That's why I got saved. I didn't want to go to hell. He explained what hell was. And I said, Lord, if it is any worse than what I'm living right now, I can't imagine it, first of all, and I don't want to be there. And so that's why I got saved.
Amen.
And so I'd go home and I'd read the word. Well, he mentioned something about giving, and I saw people getting up and giving, but I was all in the moment of my freedom at that, like feeling good
mm-hmm.
the first time, and I couldn't tell you when. And so the next service we go to, and he starts talking about tithe and offering. And mind you, at that point, we didn't have enough money to live through the next paycheck.
Amen. Praise.
We was hitting the wall about Wednesday before
yeah.
Friday or Tuesday before Friday. We didn't have money. We had Roman noodles in our house, and we had stuff for Philip
Amen.
To eat. But we were eating Roman noodles.
Amen.
And because they were 10 cents a piece, right?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good noodles. Amen.
When the pastor told me about tithing, I went home and I said, this makes no sense at all. You want me to give you money, and I don't have enough to live to the next paycheck, but you want me to take 10% out of what I've got. Listen, if it was 20 bucks back then, that was a lot of money. That might have been 200 to some of you. That might have been 2,000 to some of you. 20 bucks was a lot of money. That was our grocery budget.
Budget for the week.
For 2 weeks.
Amen.
It was 20 bucks. Not playing. And so when I started thinking about this, and I said, okay, God, I know that your salvation was real and your word said that. Your word told me about salvation, and I'm going to go in there and I'm going to read what it says about giving. Because if it works anything like salvation did, I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
So I asked him before I got in the word and started digging. I said, show me through your eyes what this looks like. Because my eyes can't see this. Does that make sense? When you have never seen anybody do it, and it doesn't make sense, and people will call you stupid for tithing. That's just dumb. You don't even have enough money. What are you doing that? That's dumb. And I may have told my friend that I was getting ready to do that, and they said, that's stupid. I know you don't have enough money. Why are you doing that?
Amen.
Why are you giving to the church? They have enough. You don't. Why are you doing that? And I simply said, because God told me to.
Amen.
And he told me through his word. And he spoke to me, and I'm telling you that we started tithing.
Yes.
The one thing we did notice is it didn't interrupt what was already going on.
Right.
Does that make sense? Like, we were still not having enough money from Wednesday, sometimes Tuesday, and we're still eating ramen noodles. Isn't that crazy in itself?
Yeah.
Shouldn't we have not had enough money to even hit that point? Because we were giving some of it away now that we hadn't given away before.
Right.
And so I noticed that, but some of you might ask, did it change right away? Mm-mm. No, it didn't. Did it change in a month? No, it did not. Did it change in 2 months? No, it did not. See, I am a hasty person. Kind of a controller in the past. I'm not anymore.
Amen.
I'm a recovered controller.
Amen. Amen.
A healed
controller. Hallelujah.
However
Hallelujah.
You say that. And so when something doesn't work the way that it's supposed to, I want to come in and I want to take over and I want to do it and to make it work, right?
Amen.
And so I know the Lord knows that about me. And I think he wanted to say, let's just draw this out and see how long she'll do this. When she doesn't see a fruit of something, will she stay faithful? If she doesn't see an immediate reward, because remember, we're the fast food generation. We go through the drive-thru and we want it now.
Yep, amen.
We want how we want it and we want it now. God doesn't work like that. And so we hung on. And I remember what month it finally broke loose, and we were at the end of Friday. Ooh. And he was getting paid again, and we had a couple dollars left.
Money left. Amen.
You're like, it's only a couple dollars. It's two more dollars than we had for the years before that.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah. And so I started seeing God be faithful to what his word was. So my reason and my testimony of why God did it is because it's his word, and he told me to see if I won't.
Amen.
To prove me out. And he gave me a challenge to prove him and say, see if I won't. And I'm telling you, God is faithful. We're not paycheck to paycheck people.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. And that's only because God is so good and because we are tithers. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So does anybody else want to give a testimony of why they believe in tithing and why they tithe today? Ooh. Okay, I'll wait here till I have somebody that wants to tell me about why they tithe. Okay.
It's pretty much the same as what she said, just shorter. God's always faithful. Sorry. God's always faithful to me, so it's one way that I can show back my faithfulness to him.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of other ways, but, tithing is definitely a way that we can show our faithfulness back to God.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anybody else here? Anybody else want to come and tell me why they tithe, why they believe in it, and what their own personal conviction is about tithe? Okay, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord.
I've just come to the realization that I can't afford not to tithe.
Amen.
He covers everything.
Amen.
And he keeps the devourer from taking...
Amen.
He's given me. So, 10%, 20%, whatever it is, you know what? It's all his anyway. And if he's going to give me 90% of that,
amen.
Who am I to say, no, you can't have this?
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah.
You know, that's funny because at the first service, Marie Miller, she stepped up and she said, she heard this, but the Lord was showing her that in the garden, he kept a remnant of that garden for himself, that they could go and do whatever they wanted on all of it, but he kept his own part of that garden for him, and so it was his, And so that 10% is not ours anyway.
Amen.
That 10% already belongs to him.
Amen.
And it was an amazing, you should ask her to stay and you should ask her to see it again, because it was really, when you think about it, you know.
Well, part of the revelation was that she said, like, her husband, you know, she's at home with the kids and her husband was out working. And if he were to call and say, honey, I won't be home for dinner, but please save me a plate. She said, I wouldn't wait till we all ate and I scraped the remnants off of the kids' plate and my plate. She said, I would take my husband's plate and set it aside first before I even fed anybody. She said, and the reason I do that is because he's the priest and the provider of the home. And he said, so I would have set his meal off ahead of time, then fed everybody. She says, and waited for him to come home to eat it. And sometimes we should be thinking about the fact that God is already providing for us. We wouldn't have the jobs we have. We wouldn't have the life we have. So if he's providing for you, then you should honor God with what he requests of you. And I don't want this to be something that we just do because we're in church. I don't want you to give out of religious ritual or some kind of religious obedience. I want your giving, your tithing and your offering to be stirred in your spirit and in your heart because you have a revelation of God and how good he is for us. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, with that being said, we're going to go ahead and bring up those offering buckets. Unless I had one more bold person out there. Come on, hallelujah. Bring up the offering buckets. We'll just go with what God has given us. And I'm going to pray and we're going to bring up our tithes and offerings. And the Lord is going to bless you. Press down, shaking up, running over. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you that this is actually our time to express our trust, our fortitude, our faith, our thankfulness, God, for what you've done for us, Father. Now, Lord, I thank you that the Bible says that you will rebuke the devourer on our behalf, God, that you will open up the windows of heaven and you will pour out blessing, Father. And, Lord, I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Bring your tithes and offerings to the front.
It's an open door. We want you, Lord, like never before. Your presence is an open door. So come now, Lord, like never before. Your presence
the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just give the Lord one more hand clap. Whoa. I just want to wake you up and shake you for a minute before I get into the Word of God. So we are going to preach today again the lifestyle of the kingdom, or living the kingdom way, or how we should live as Christians now that we're saved. And I pray that you like this topic today, but if you don't, it's still what I'm preaching on. Nay, praise the name of the Lord. Because when we come into the church, it's our job to correct, exhort, and to share scriptures and things that will infuse us with faith. And when we talk about the lifestyle of the kingdom, I want you to know that Christians, now that you're saved, there is a way that you have to live. I want us to understand something, that in a day like today's world, I really want to qualify the fact that we don't get to do it our way in the kingdom of God. If you want things done your way, you got a Burger King and you got a McDonald's and they will serve you up your sandwich the way you want it. But when you come into the kingdom of God, there's a way that we're supposed to live and there's expectations that God has of us. And I want to remind us this morning that when Jesus lived the way that he lived, and when Jesus chose to live on this earth according to the way his Father asked him to live, do you know that Jesus made a way for us when there otherwise wouldn't have been a way? That Jesus was such a perfect sacrifice and was so obedient and carried his cross so well that God said from heaven, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And because Jesus lived for God on this earth in a way that no other man had ever lived before, he was able to bring provision to us in no other way. Now, none of us have to go to a cross now because Christ was the Son of God and he fulfilled that. But what we should pick up from him is that the Bible says that we as Christians need to carry our cross. And there has been far too many Christians over the last so many years, because we've been preaching this way, that all we do is want to get out of the kingdom what we can get for ourselves. And I got to tell you something, and I'm glad I get to tell you, that that is not the kingdom lifestyle. The kingdom lifestyle that God expects us to live on is, yes, he's going to heal you. Yes, he's going to save you. Yes, he's going to bless you. But your whole life is also going to be a blessing for other people. And I just want us to realize that our decisions we make on a day-to-day basis are not just affecting our life, but it is affecting the life of God. It's also affecting our life and other people throughout all of our life that we live. How we live for God will have an impact on others. And I want us to know that our responsibility is to accept that responsibility. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says that not only do you become a new creature, but you take on the responsibility of being an ambassador and a reconciler of people to God. That means that you will be a person that helps other people get saved. And it also means that you as an ambassador are a representative of the kingdom of God. Well, what does that mean? I will tell you what it means. It means that even though we know that there are strong personalities in this world, guess what? Your identity as a Christian is more important than your identity as a man or woman. Oh, come on now. We need to respect genders, and we want to keep all the genders that we have, which is just a male and a female. That's the genders that we have available to us. But I want you to understand something, that the Bible says that when you come into God, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's male nor female, but we are the children of God. And what that means to us is that above our skin color, we're Christians first. Above our sexual identity, male or female, we are a Christian first. And above our rights to be American, which we honor and we respect, but more important than my identity as an American is my identity as a Christian. More than my identity as what my work is. I could be a doctor. I could be a lawyer. I could be anything that you want to be. But more than your identity and what you're called to do in that perspective, you are a Christian first. And that means that if we're going to live the lifestyle of the kingdom, we have got to do things God's way before we do it anybody else's way. Listen, if you work at Honda or wherever, I want you to learn the work rules. I want you to learn that job. I want you to work as best as you can. You should be the best worker in that facility. But if you're going to take the time to learn the responsibilities it takes to be a good employee, boy, above all that, you better take the time and the responsibility to know how to live as a Christian. Amen? I just want to share a scripture with you this morning. It's in Hebrews 11:6, and it says this, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." I want you to know that in your relationship and your lifestyle of living in the kingdom of God, there better be two identities that you get real clear. One identity is, who is God? You have got to discover that God is our God, who's a good God. He's God our healer. He's God our protection. He's God our Savior. We have got to learn to identify God, and we've got to learn to know his characteristics. Who is God? He's a good, kind Father in heaven that he desires nothing more but than to do good for you. The Bible says that he is our protection. He's our provider. He is our God and he is our Father. He loves us with a loving kindness. Remember, the Bible says that everybody that is led of the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. But I want you to know something. You better get God's identity down pat. You better know that he's not a God of sickness. He's not a God of torment. He's not a God that brings tragedy. So when you see and experience those things, you don't blame God for those things. You understand that that is the work of darkness, that it's Satan, and that it's also a part of this life we live, because now it's no longer a perfect world that we live upon. But we've got to remember that only good and perfect gifts cometh down from heaven. So we have got to get God's identity right in our life. Amen? And then a second identity that's very important, it says that we must know him and know that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you know one of the most critical identities you must get down if you're going to be effective in the kingdom of God is your own identity? Do you know that if after the blood comes, you still consider yourself pathetic, or you still consider yourself unworthy, or you still consider yourself just a sinner saved by grace, do you realize that you're taken away from the power of the blood? Do you realize that you are minimizing your ability to maximize who you are supposed to be on this earth for the benefit of other people? See, because I don't want you to go getting cocky, but you must be meek enough to know that you are more than enough because God made you so. You've got to be meek enough to know that you are a unique creation, that there's only one of you. Nathan, there may be other Nathans on the face of this earth, but there's only one Nathan that carries your name. There's only one voice that's your voice, Nathan. And so we've got to all understand as people that we must know that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So what I need you to understand is that if you're going to love God, you've got to let the love of God show forth in your life. You've got to quit criticizing and over condemning yourself to a life of lack and to a life without. Because if we're going to walk within the kingdom, we've got to be bold enough to come to the throne of grace so we can see mercy in our time of need. Amen? We've got to be bold enough for our spouse's sake, for our children's sake, for our friends' sake, for our family's sake. We've got to be bold enough to believe that we can hear God and that God loves us and that God will work with us. And I want you to understand something, that we have got to quit feeding into the past historically wrong statements such as this. Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, no, no. You were a sinner, but now that you're saved by grace, you're a child of God. And one reason why I want you to take on that identity is not so you'll be puffed up and full of yourself, but so that you'll quit making excuses for sin and wickedness ruling in our lives. Come on, if we think we're still just sinners, guess what? We'll expect to sin all the time. Well, the Bible says that if thou sin, my children, there is grace within God to receive us. But it should not be a regular, ongoing basis of us just being inundated with sin and thinking that that's okay. We're all going to be where we're at. We all need to start where we're at. We need to accept people where they're at. But we need to make sure that we understand what it takes to be a part of the kingdom. So with that being said, in Hebrews 11:6, it says that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I want you to know something, Christians. There's a lot of people out there that say, well, what will be, and whatever God does. No, 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 no. Listen, we have to diligently seek our Father through the reading of the scriptures and through the word so that we know what the expectations of God is. I know this, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. And I tell you, those are things that we need to get in our heart, because there's a responsibility that's coming upon us that we're going to have to teach this generation of people what it means to be faithful, what it means to be responsible, what it means to be accountable, because these are things that are very important in our lives. I want to read to you something that we must make sure we're not, and that's in 1 John chapter 2, and I want to begin to read in verse 15, and it says right here, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Lord, the Father, is not in him. Now, what this means is that John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. These two scriptures do not oppose each other. They agree with each other, because who God is expecting us to love is the people within the world. Amen. We should love the people that are within the world, because if we do not, then we're not reflecting the love of God. But when it says don't love the world, that means don't love the ways of the world. There's a way that you should live, Christians, and it's not how you grew up taking a tooth for a tooth and an eye for an eye and stealing or anything else that we are involved in or being violent or any of those natures. That's the part of the world that God says he does not love and that we can't love if we're Christians. It says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So right here, this starts really breaking down for us that if we're going to live the lifestyle of the kingdom, then the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life will not be apparent in us. And what that means is that this is where sin starts. This is how the sin life and the sin nature is. It's always a lust of the flesh, a lust of the eyes, or it's the pride of life. And I want you to know that in any arena of your life, these things cannot be manifesting and these things cannot stand for you to believe that you're living the lifestyle of the kingdom. One of the biggest things that we're going to have to deal with is pride, because pride will keep you from humbling yourself enough to do things God's way. We're going to have to be careful because there's going to be circumstances and situations whereby which we could act another way, and we're not going to be able to act that way. I'm going to now go to the scripture that I really want to focus in on today, and we're going to rest in this scripture for a little bit because it is just good. It's filled with a lot of goodness. It's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. It's something that I try to adhere to live to, and believe me, ask Miss Regina, I'm still got lots of work to do, amen? Praise the name of the Lord, right, babe? I still got lots of work to do. But anyhow, what I want to do is I want to get in here and I want to read to us out of the book of Luke. And I really want us to hear, because I'm going to read for a little bit, because here's what I want you to see. There is a lifestyle. There is a way of conducting yourselves within God and within the church and within the Bible and within life in general. Do you understand that when you're living at work, people should still be able to see your Christianity? Do you understand that when you're out and about in the stores, people should be able to know that there's something different about you? And certainly when you're in church, people ought to know there's something differently about you. But here's what it says in Luke chapter 6. You know, when we step into the kingdom of God, we're expected to live above the law of the world. We're expected to live in a way that's beyond what humanity without God thinks is okay. So we're going to start looking at that. And right here in Luke chapter 6, verse 27, it says, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. What? Did I read that right? As a Christian, the Lord says unto me that I need to hear him, because he says, love your enemies and do good to them which hate you. Wow, we're starting off pretty deep. Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. First of all, I want you to know that anybody who vexes you in these ways, understand, first of all, they don't even realize what they're doing for the most part. Because really, it's just the enemy working through them to try to torment you and discourage you and cause you to live outside of the kingdom. Now, I'm not saying that people don't have to take responsibility for their actions. They definitely do. But your viewpoint on it should be that this person is lost and this person is being used by the enemy and may not even know what they're doing to come against you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, boy, I'm still working on this, offer also the other. So don't come and slap me, because I can't promise you that. Okay. I'm teasing you. I won't start a fight with you, but please, let's not test everybody, because everybody might not be this far along in the game. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not him to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. See? Here is where we really have to live as Christians today. This is a critical, critical moment for us, because I will tell you that even some of the preaching of the kingdom of God over the last 25 years has taught us that it's okay to be selfish. It's all been about me and what I can get and what I want and what I should have. And I tell you what, that you can have your needs met and then so much more. But one thing you cannot do is ever become so self-centered that you think differently about other people than you think about yourself. See, here's what I want you to do. The Bible needs us and God needs us to love others as we would love ourselves. And this is one thing that the body of Christ really needs to take on, because here's what we do sometimes. Sometimes we're too judgmental. Sometimes we have a brother or sister come to church, and the first thing we want to do, Nathan, is criticize what they're not and who they're not, and think that we're helping them by trying to pick out their flaws and make them change to something right now. Listen to me. Your change belongs to God. And every person is different. You don't know the background of people. You don't know what they've come through. You don't know what they went through. So when someone comes in the church brand new, why don't you love them like you would expect them to love you and give room and grace for them to grow? The other thing is that if all of us held the same criteria for everybody else that we tend to help, well, boy, we wouldn't have made it very far, would we? Because there's been many times, even for myself, I got to tell you, I wish it wasn't, but there's been many times where the Lord was trying to save me, move on my heart, and get me to do stuff, and I didn't always respond yes the first time. And there's some things that I'm still working on, but what I want us to do is we have to love other people genuinely like we would love ourselves. And if we want mercy on our life, please grant mercy to someone else's life. And listen, you might not have never dealt with addictions before. So therefore, make sure that you have patience and kindness for someone who is dealing with addiction. Amen. You might not have ever been molested as a child or a young person, but make sure that you give grace and kindness for someone who's went through that kind of stuff, because they may navigate life a little differently than you. Amen? Yes. Let's be people of love and kindness, and let's be people that also give room and patience for the love of other people. For if ye love them which love you, what thanks have you? For sinners also love those that love them. Well, I just got a couple of questions to ask you. Do you fine pick the people that you hang around with and make sure that they're so much like you or in the same position as you are that you never give room for someone of lesser means? See, the Bible says here, if you only love people that are able to love you the same way you love, then we haven't even begun to do what we need to do in the kingdom. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thanks have you? For sinners also do even the same. Are you a person that only will do good to someone who can do good to you back? In other words, if you had $10, would you only loan it to the one that you knew for sure could give it back to you? Have you ever given someone $10 and said, hey, no, thanks, keep it, but you just do what you need to do? What is our love level? Where are we at? What's our love language? Because we need to grow into these things if we're not able to do them. And we need to be thinking far beyond just ourselves or what's an exchange relationship where we only deal with people that can do back to us exactly what we do to them. That's not what the kingdom's about. The kingdom is about you being able to help others who may not be right where you're at just now. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thanks have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. And again, I want to tell you that I got to this a little early, but I think it was on time because I want to tell you, don't raise your hand, but just think about it. Have you ever given to someone just to give to them? Have you ever blessed someone? Have you ever bought gas or just been in a grocery store and said, hey, here's a little money to put towards your groceries or just anything like that? Have you ever just reached towards someone just to be kind and just to be a Christian? But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Oh, my goodness. It says that if you will do these things, read that again. But if you love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is good to the unthankful and to the evil. I want you to understand something, that we are children of the highest. We are the Lord's children. And because we are God's children, doing good, being kind, being willing to help people that need help, these should be basic, reasonable things that are part of your life. I want you to know that sometimes Christians are not always the happiest people, and what you'll find is they're probably a little too comfortable where they're at. They're not stretching themselves. They're not getting out. They're not letting their light shine. They're not functioning in the kingdom. And I tell you what, it's not just a pastor or a preacher that should be touching and changing lives. There should be people that are touched and changed because of each and every one of us reaching towards the kingdom of God. Amen? I want us to hear something here, that God is not just kind to the people that are kind to him. It says that he's kind to the unthankful and to the evil. So what I want you to recognize again is that when you see evil going around you and when you see bad things happening, don't attribute that to God. Remember, only good and perfect gifts cometh down from heaven. I want to remind you that you must know who he is, and you must believe in him and believe in his kindness, and you must believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God is not the one orchestrating evil around here. I will tell you that we are seeing the work of darkness increase, and we've also seen people that have made no room in their life for God. It's the unthankful and the evil that are channeling and letting things come in. And we have to be careful about those kinds of things. Now, when I talk to us about giving to people and being kind to people, some of us need to recognize this, that you may not always be able to do that to everybody, because you might have someone around you that's addicted to drugs or addicted to alcohol. And guess what? In that situation, you cannot afford to be an enabler. You cannot afford to help them get their drugs. You cannot afford to keep giving them money and doing that. In that case, you're probably going to do more for them by loving them and saying no. And if you keep it up, I'm going to turn you into the police. I will tell you that I just had a lady not too long ago. Well, it's been a couple years ago. But she was weeping and crying one day when she came to work, because she said, I did the most terrible thing I've ever done. And I said, what'd you do? And I thought, did she shoot somebody? Am I going to have to call 911? She said, I just turned my daughter in. I said, for what? She said, well, she's fell back into addiction for about the third time. I said, well, thank God you just loved her the way she needed to be loved. So when we talk about being kind to people, you've got to have wisdom and ability to discern what that really is in the kingdom. Amen? But I want you to understand something, that God has an expectation of how we're going to live our life. I want you to know that the Bible says right here in the book of Romans chapter 14. Romans 14, 16 through 17, it says, Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I want you to understand something as Christians, that there should be a lot of peace and joy in your life. And the reason there should be a lot of peace and joy in your life is because of that word righteousness. And I want you to know that what that means and how we're going to look at it today is that you need to have right standing with God. When you are standing in the right way with God, you will have peace and you will have joy, because what it means is you will be doing things God's way and not your own way. Amen? Christians, if we're going to live the lifestyle of the kingdom, we're going to have to live God's way. If you want to do it your way, go to McDonald's at lunchtime, or go get you a Whopper, and where you can set up your sandwich to be made your own way. But when it comes to the rest of your life, you're going to have to live God's way to be a Christian. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. I want to take you right now over to a scripture that we're going to really focus on for a few minutes. And it's in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to read to you some scripture here. In verse 32, it says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things.
You know, I want you to understand something, that the Bible says that God will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And sometimes we are so caught up in our day-to-day needs that we're not thinking long-term or even short-term on what we need to really be doing to have God being a blessing to our life. Amen? And the Bible says here that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I want you to know that the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And what that means is that there is a right way. There is a structurally right way for us to do things. And you're going to have to discover that in the Bible. You're going to have to study the Bible and know what the Lord's expectations are for you in each area of your life. But if you will do that, and if you will seek God first, if you will seek him and his righteousness, that word righteousness means his right way of doing things. I want you to know something, that there's a right way for you and your wife or you and your husband to be in your marriage. There's a right way for you to be as a person in general. There's guidelines that you should live in under every day. You know there's a right way that God wants you to go to work? Do you know that God has an expectation that when you work, you will be one of the best workers at your job site? And he expects you to have the best attitude and be amongst the best, hardest workers in that environment. Do you know that kids, if you're still in school, you're high schoolers and you're in here, I want you to know something. Do you believe that God expects you to do your schoolwork, expects you to perform it well? And in fact, he will help you in these areas. Do you know that the Bible says that we can have the renewed mind of Christ, who can help us do all things that we need to do? It's time for us to make sure we live the lifestyle of the kingdom. The lifestyle of the kingdom is not filled with fear. The lifestyle of the kingdom is not filled with doubt. The lifestyle of the kingdom is not filled with a bunch of discouragement and a bunch of just, woe is me, I cannot, I cannot, I cannot. Listen to me, God will help you where you're at. And the truth is, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. I want each and every one of us to just take time this week and over this next month. And as we get into December, I'm going to have an expectation that you are evaluating your life and that you are checking and challenging yourself to say, where do I not meet the standard of the kingdom? And where will I make sure that I do? You know, if you're in relationships, I want you to be evaluating those relationships and see if you are carrying on what God would ask you to be in that relationship. If you have a job, I want you to evaluate that job and ask, am I asking the Lord to bless the work of my hands? Do I believe that I can do this job because God gives me strength to do it? I want us to just be people of the kingdom of God. Amen? Let's have the lifestyle that's reflective of his nature. Let's have the attitude that's reflective of his nature. I'm reminded one day of Chad Smith, when their daughter, baby, was getting picked on at school. Woo! It scared me when I first heard about it because I went, oh, no. And I know what Chad is like. And guess what? He went right to where he needed to confront somebody, walked right up to the door. But the thing that I was proud of him about is, hey, I didn't come here. I didn't come here to have some confrontation. I came here to pray and find out what we can do and what we can do to make things better. Was that powerful? Amen. Amen. But isn't that powerful? Isn't it powerful that if you were even having a child picked on, that you would go and say to somebody, hey, I'm here, but not to be confrontational. I'm here to find out how we can resolve this in prayer and doing those kinds of things. Amen? I tell you what, let's be people of the kingdom today. Let's be people that treat other people the way we want to be treated. And let's be people that have enough kindness to give people the benefit of the doubt like it's been given to us. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, with every eye closed, every head bowed, every eye closed for just a minute, if there's someone here that's not saved today, or someone here who is backslidden and you say, Pastor Phil, I love God, but I have been away from him, not really living for him, and that's you, and you want to just pray
and make sure that you're on your way to the kingdom and that you're in that right relationship, I want you to just lift your hand. Hallelujah. Right now is a good time to just lift your hand and let's put that out there before the Lord. And amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, I thank you then that people are on that journey. Rick, can you come up here for a minute? Mr. Rick White. Get that guy in the back. Can you come up here for just a minute? I'm going to go ahead and pray for you. Hallelujah. Rick has some things going on that we're going to put before the Lord, and we're just going to believe God for you. Father, in the name